It's the seventh day of the octave of Christmas, and it is New Year's Eve Day in the civil calendar and the Feast of St. Sylvester. This is Father John Zinsser. From Meditations for Each Day by Antonio Cardinal Bacci. The last day of the year has come. It should be a day of reckoning and of resolution. Think of the many benefits which God has conferred on you throughout your life, but especially in the year which is now drawing to a close. Count the temporal favors which you have received. Many of your friends and acquaintances have died during the year, but you are still alive. God has rescued you from innumerable perils and illnesses. He has allowed you more time in which to perfect your spiritual life and to perform apostolic work on your neighbor's behalf. Try not to be like the barren tree in the gospel, because this could be your final year of trial. Count the spiritual blessings which you have received. Think of the graces and good inspirations which God has given you during the past 12 months. How often have you received forgiveness for your sins, been restored to the friendship of God, and experienced anew the joy and peace of being in the state of grace? How often has Jesus come into your heart under the guise of the Blessed Eucharist? How often have you been enlightened and encouraged by hearing or reading the Word of God? Think, too, of the good example which you have received in private and in public, and recall the many occasions on which the helping hand of God has reached out to save you from falling into sin. You could never show sufficient gratitude for all these favors. Spend this day, at least, in acts of repentance and thanksgiving, and promise God to be faithful to him in the coming year.
This Christmas time, consider well and what our good God for us has done in sending His beloved Son. With Mary holy we should pray to God with
love. Let's have one more offering from the wonderful Father Patrick Troadek. He just gets better and better over the years. For our Lord, it would already have been an incredible lowering of himself, even to take on an angelic nature. Yet, as St. Paul points out to the Hebrews, God lowered himself even further. He went so far as to assume a human nature. That is not all. Indeed, the Word, in becoming man, could have at least taken a glorified body. It would certainly have been in the normal course of things that the divine nature glorify the body to which it was so closely joined. Yet Jesus preferred to know all of the miseries of the present life outside of sin. He knew hunger and thirst. He suffered from the cold and the heat. He felt weariness. He knew anguish and sorrow. And above all, he suffered the most horrible torments throughout his passion. See, then, how far this second lowering took him. There remains to consider still a third degree of lowering himself. Indeed, our Lord could at least have chosen to be born into a rich family, in a famous town, in a sumptuous palace. It would seem the least we could expect that the King of Kings be born in a universe corresponding to his infinite majesty. No, not at all. That was not the plan of God. Our Lord did indeed will to suffer and die in a great town in Jerusalem in order to endure a greater humiliation, and yet he willed to be born in a forgotten corner, isolated, withdrawn from the world, far from noise and agitation, in a poor, wretched stable. O Jesus, who accepted such an annihilation in order to conquer my pride and my disordered love of my ease and of the false pleasures of life, help me to detach myself from the goods of this world and from the inordinate love of myself, in order that I might rejoice in spiritual goods and reach the eternal happiness of heaven.